Hey, Judd's Hockey Show listeners, this is the hockey whisperer himself, Phil Mackey. And I want to talk real quick about Federated Mutual Insurance Company, here to help take your business to another level through risk management. They are basically like a checking line to protect your top line players from risks and things on the horizon. Federatedinsurance.com if you want to find out more information, and if you want to find out more information about the great people that have been around for a long time helping businesses. Federated Insurance, where it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Hockey, yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
All right, welcome to Judd's Hockey Show, and a much more pleasant Judd's Hockey Show than after Game 1, because the Wild tonight comes back after a 4-0 loss and puts together a very impressive 6-2 victory over the St. Louis Blues. The X tonight, plenty to talk about. Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff, Judd's Hockey Show will be going late into the night, hopefully joined by a ton of you who can certainly participate. Before we give you the instructions on how to do so, of course, I want to thank our friends from Surly Brewing for presenting this show, for presenting Purple Daily. If you didn't enjoy this game with a Surly Furious or a Drips and Drops, what are you doing? In fact, Declan,
Havoc Machine. I had to embrace the Havoc.
The number two star of tonight's game. All right, Declan, let's get right to it. Let's get to our thoughts and then start to bring in people who are going to want to comment on this game. Much more positive experience than last time. I love this sport, and this might drive our friend, the hockey whisperer, Phil Mackey, crazy. I love this sport because tonight's game changed. Now, the Wild played really well for a long time, but there is no debating this. This series and this game changed when the Wild got its first shot on goal at 9:33, the first period, which, by the way, was not only the Wild's first shot in this game, it was also Joel Eriksson Ek's first goal for the Wild, the team in this series, when Robert Bertuzzo, who actually got hurt in this game, when his stick blew up, Jordan Greenway picked up the puck, fed it to Ek, Ek scores, and I swear to God, it was like a weight was lifted from this, from the fans in this building, from the anxiety-ridden Minnesota sports fan, and more importantly than that, Declan Goff, the anxiety from the Wild was gone. Up until then, the Wild didn't have a shot. They couldn't pass to save their lives. Now, Dean Evason was vindicated and proven right, because Marc-Andre Fleury came back tonight and played a very good game in goal. But I think the first talking point is this game really changed when the Wild finally broke through and scored, and they go on to get a hat-trick from Kaprizov. They go on to get two goals, darn near a hat-trick from Ek. His third goal was wiped out by an offside call. Kaprizov did what stars do in the third period. The Blues were putting pressure on Dex, and he, you know what, basically said, bleep this, took the puck from Perron, gave it to Zuccarello. They had a beautiful goal that was Kaprizov's second goal. His third one was into an empty net. But I just go back to the fact that the weight of the world, when Bertuzzo's stick blew up and Greenway fed Ek, completely changed this game. And from that moment on, we saw, I think, way more of a semblance of the team that we expect to go deep in the playoffs, and nothing close to the team that we saw for the first 9:32 of this game, or more importantly, for really the entire game one.
Yeah, and look, there was that like nervous energy, right? And I can't stand that. I love that Steve Levy, I was watching the ESPN call, was like, forget the Minnesota Nice, be Minnesota Mean. Be Minnesota Mean. I love that from our guy, Steve Levy. Friend of the show, too, by the way, on Mackey and Judd and Score North. Good, hey, a little housekeeping thing, too, before I make a couple more takes here with Judd and for myself. As we bring Wild fans on, make sure, number one, you can send me an invite. It's VikingsVentLine, I know, VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. I'll gladly love to pop you on the screen. And when you join us, keep the calls clean. It is a family-friendly show. We love to keep these calls clean. So if you have takes, if you can keep it PG-13, at least with the language, that'd be great. But we'd love to hear from so many Wild fans. We're really looking forward to hearing from you guys after the Wild evened up this series at a game apiece. So hit the subscribe button, too, if this is the first time you're discovering Score North. That's Judd Zolgad. I'm Declan Goff. We are from Mackey and Judd, and this is Judd's Hockey Show. The Hockey Whisperer, Phil Mackey, is crafting his takes as we speak from somewhere in Seattle. So very eager to hear from the Hockey Whisperer as well by tomorrow. But I thought the Wild, you know, after, a very quiet first 10 minutes in the game, really settled in after that. They get some big time goals. Marc-Andre Fleury, man, you saw right there why Dino went back to him. They had to go back to him. He's a decorated goaltender. He can handle that pressure. And in that last 10 minutes of that third period, I'm not saying Cam Talbot couldn't have handled that, but I trust Marc-Andre Fleury to get through that a hell of a lot more than Cam Talbot. And look, yes, Talbot was great down the stretch. Didn't lose a regulation game for like the last 8 weeks, but Marc-Andre Fleury was that calming presence, hugging the post, kissing the post, fans, his teammates, rallying around him, the fans loving every second of what he's doing. It really started with him. And then with your superstar players, I wouldn't say disappearing tonight, Judd, because look, Kirill got the hat trick. Really in the third period was to put that goal. It really put this one out of reach at the end. And that was huge for this team. So now the Wild evened up the series. They responded very well after an absolute dud in game one. I thought that was excellent for them to do tonight. And even though this is playoff hockey, right? Like you don't see your, sometimes you see your star players or even that top line, don't show up for 60 minutes. You need guys like Joel Eriksson Ek to have big nights. I thought Tyson Jost was the second best player on this in this game. And you can make a case, even though he didn't get rewarded with a goal, was the most noticeable player and potentially your best forward tonight. And he didn't even get on the score sheet, but he was a beast all over the ice. This is playoff hockey. This is what it's about. You need your secondary players to show up.
Third period, Jost was phenomenal. He blocked a shot on the penalty kill. He was in obvious pain. He was looked at on the bench. Finally got a chance to sort of skate the pain out, came back, took a faceoff, and from there he was better. Fourth line presented some opportunities for themselves. And so, yeah, I mean, this was the definition of a bounce-back game. This is what we expected. Game one was incredibly disappointing, but more important was put that game in the rearview mirror, come back tonight, and they came back and played, for the most part, a great game, and Kaprizov was fantastic. They, you know, there were moments where the Blues definitely took the play back, but Dex, the Blues are good. Like it's going to go back and forth. You're not going to dominate a game completely. The question is, do you compete? I thought, despite the fact that the advanced metrics on Monday said, well, yeah, they're playing well. I thought that the competition level at some of the most important parts of that game were lost tonight. I didn't. And you know, I'll go back to tonight. The power play scored, what, a couple of times, Declan. The penalty kill was not perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it certainly, if you're going to go 0 for 6, you can't allow your opponent on your home ice to go 2 for 6. And so, like, the Blues are a hell of a team. They are really good, which means that you have to do what you did tonight, which is spend most of the game competing and at times own the game. And at times tonight they did. And so I was very encouraged. And I am going to walk over to a TV, Dex, right by me quickly and turn this down, because as much as I love Bally's, I would prefer to hear you and the people who are going to join us. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. We have some Wild fans here in the queue that are about to join us here in just a little bit. Luke, I see you hanging out there. Jared, Ryan, Jordan, other Wild fans who will be joining us here in just a bit. Again, this is Score North. A little housekeeping here. Hit the subscribe button, the like button on this YouTube channel for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Judd Zolgad and myself will be welcoming fans on the show throughout this entire series. We're really excited to talk to Wild fans. And this is also the home of Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily, a Minnesota Vikings podcast as well. But yes, I thought the Wild tonight, I'm curious to hear from you Wild fans as well, but I thought the Wild were able to respond in such a positive way after the dud in game one. And it was great. They needed a big performance from Marc-Andre Fleury. I thought their power play was able to wake up. They get the scoring going on that man advantage. When you get gifted those opportunities, you absolutely have to capitalize. And the Wild were able to do that as well. So as Judd gets back from turning off those TVs,
I think
Judd,
I've got him down and enough now.
You know what? Before we get our first guest on, because you can huff and puff all you want, but I don't hear it, because you know why? You're losing weight because of Olivia. Tell the audience, Judd.
Oh, that's exactly right. And thank you for presenting me the opportunity. You're not as good as Phil, but you're darn good, Dex, to talk about my friends at Olivia Weight Control Centers. Down about 40 pounds, feeling great. You know what? Looking pretty doggone good. Got to say so myself. And if I can look like this, ladies and gentlemen, imagine what you can do. Drop the weight today. And with the new Simple Start plan for only $59, receive one-on-one personalized and guided support online or in person from Livia's team of experts. 855-GO-LIVEA, livia.com, livea.com. Start your journey to weight loss. And just as importantly, keeping it off. Livia.com. All right.
All right, let's do it.
Again, let's get to them.
as we get to Wild Vent Line here. Keep the calls clean if you can. But we're excited to hear. You'll make my life a lot easier, please.
Folks, we know it's late and you've been sipping on Surly's and we love you for it. Just stay away from the keywords. Damn is okay, for instance.
Luca.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Luca? Pal?
Doing good. Much better performance on the Wild's end. One of the two things I took away from the game was in game one, the Wild just seemed like a bunch of guys, you know, trying to do different things. You know, they weren't playing as well as they have like a unit in the regular season. And it looked like today they came out and they all had one goal in mind. It was to, you know, play a composed game and slow down. And, you know, it's just hockey is a matter of time. And they kept working at it. And, you know, they got the goals. They made the right plays when they needed to. That was really impressive. And then just one more thing was the 4-on-4s. St. Louis has beaten us in overtime quite a bit, especially with, you know, 4-on-4, 3-on-3 situations. And I think the Wild did a good job of slowing down and not forcing anything too much and just took a look at what was in front of them and played accordingly. So that's all I have. But thanks for having me on. You guys have a great night.
Awesome stuff, man.
Luca.
You're exactly right. In fact, I will give you a play to me, and I talked about this a little bit before, but to me, this was the difference between Monday game one and Wednesday game two. 4-2, the Wild led, but the Blues were buzzing, right? The Blues were buzzing. They were all over the place, and it felt like only a matter of time till it was going to be a one-goal game, which is trouble. When Kaprizov robbed Perron of the puck in the Wild zone and got it to Zuccarello, and then they took off, which is what they do so well, right? On Monday, that was Kaprizov trying to skate the puck out himself, which, as I explained, in January is awesome. That looks good. In playoff time, you can't do that. He got it to Zuccarello, and then they took off, and he scores. He scored because he freed himself up to get the puck back, right? On Monday, he was trying to skate that puck out. I mean, it's no different than the Wolves taking shots, right? Like, right. Hero ball. D'Angelo, what are you doing, man? Pass the ball, right? Hero puck. It's the same exact thing. And so what we saw tonight was, he's right, was a smarter game, more strategic game. I also saw, I think it was in the first period or in the second, as the Wild, I think it was the second, started to pull away and St. Louis got mad and more flustered. They tried to do the same stuff that they did in game one, and they clearly know that Hartman is a hothead. And somebody was trying to rough him up after a whistle, and he literally, Dex, went like this. He went, batted the guy away, didn't shove him, and he skated away.
Uh-huh.
That's what you need, because the difference is this. They are clearly in this league right now, and this is no surprise. It's the National Hockey League. They are, I think they're calling more penalties than they ordinarily do in the playoffs to set a tone, right? So, like, the whole thing of stay out of the box, you're not going to be able to stay out of the box. You're going to get called for penalties. Now, you have to kill those off, which they did a far superior job of tonight a little bit. But most importantly is don't take the stupid penalties, and that's after the whistle. Because what did we see on Monday? They were taking one guy instead of two. So if Hartman goes back and pushes the guy back and engages, he might be the guy to go. So yes, you have to be better on the penalty kill, but more importantly, don't take the penalties you don't need to take. The Wild didn't do that tonight. They played a smarter game. They played a more strategic game, and that helped them a ton once they got that first goal.
Let's keep it rolling here on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to Jared. Jared, what's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Better than I was, after Monday night's game. First of all, I just want to thank you guys for all the great content. Can be no such thing as too much Score North content. On Monday, I thought they were played a little frantic. It seemed really anxious, and it kind of seemed like it led to them rushing things, kind of. Also, Judd, I think you may be right. This Minnesota sports team may be different after all. In the beginning of the third, when the Blues were kind of coming back and it was 2-4, the Wild were kind of committing some penalties and the Blues were dominating the offensive zone. That you could feel that nervous Minnesota sports playoff energy kind of taking over. Mm-hmm. It kind of felt like a lot of the Wolves games. But then the Stars stepped up and did what they needed to do. And it was just a simple two-on-one, one pass, nothing cute, put the puck in the goal. So I thought that was a nice break from the normal meltdown that we can be, that we're used to. So, and do you also, one last thing. Do you think they're going to roll with Fleury the rest of the series, or?
Well, Friday for sure.
Yeah, they will for sure, dude. I think for game three, yeah, I think they will. I think they will.
I think, yeah, probably. All right, thanks, guys. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jed.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, Jed, I'll jump in there too. Just I think, yeah, unless they lose another game, maybe you go to Talbot. And this is the point I made on Twitter. This is the point I think we made when the Dane guy was acquired here from Chicago. He was not brought here to sit behind Cam Talbot. And Talbot was great again down the stretch. I said that at the offset of the show. He hasn't lost in regulation in like 8 weeks. But Marc-Andre Fleury is Marc-Andre Fleury, man. One of the most decorated goaltenders of all time. Has three cups to his name, one cup that he really brought, and he's going to have that net regardless. Yes, was he perfect in game one? Far from it. But was he the main reason why they lost? Absolutely not. So I'm not surprised at all they'll continue to ride the flower.
Well, and as I talked about on the afternoon, Judd, that I did today, this was also, the more you thought about this, it made sense. This was Dean basically saying, you guys screwed up, not the goaltender. Right or wrong, that's what he said. And where I agree with Dean is they did not play a hard enough game. They didn't. I mean, the fact is, no matter how we want to torture the stats into saying that the Wild played well on Monday, you know, the fact that Perron wasn't on his breezers more is a problem, right? And yep. So basically, I think the challenge was simple. We're going to put this guy back in goal because you let him down. And who wants to let the flower down? He's 37. He's won three cups. He's beloved, right? And I think the message was, you let him down. You fix this. And Fleury, to his credit, played a far superior game tonight as well. But I think that that was the message to the entire team. I don't think behind closed doors they talked about, we played, look at how great we really played. I think they talked about what they did wrong. And tonight I saw more heart, more desire, and more of a want to, because this is all about things again, like boxing out, right? About, and Fleury did a better job, I thought, of controlling and kicking rebounds out tonight, but they also got to the Blues players more. There were things more, they tied them up more. So I actually think in some ways Dean worked this as a psychological play. Now it could have failed miserably, but it worked perfectly.
Keep it rolling here on Wild Vent Line. Jordan, how are you, man? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, awesome.
Man. I'm actually kind of a first-time guy here. I saw your video last week and just loved everything about it. Obviously, game one wasn't our forte, but it's good to be here. Awesome. But a couple things. First off, might be a little bit of a rant, but Fleury, he played a good game, first game. The reason why I say that is because one goal was probably his fault, and that was the O'Reilly goal, you know. Mm-hmm. But St. Louis got a lot of puck luck, you know, like, and we didn't really do a good job of clearing pucks, you know, in the D zone and everything like that. So agreed. I can't really put too much blame on him on that one. You know, he did his what he had to do, and you know, it wasn't our game. Second game, did the same thing, right? Stood his ground, made the first saves, and we did a better job of clearing pucks. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but Foligno, first game, didn't register a single hit, right? First shift, lays a body. Yep. You know what I mean? Gets four bodies. So, yep. And that's huge. You know, Yost has a game, like an absolute game. Everyone's contributing, you know, Stars are showing up. It just an overall just solid game, you know, and no doubt about it, Fleury's playing game three. But this is the one thing that you guys obviously do know, should know, but you need two goalies, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be a time when Talbot steps in, and he's going to step in, and he's going to do his what he does. You know, he's hot. He's going to still feel hot. He's going to remember those times when the last five games when he started and he got those W's. He's going to remember that prior to puck drop, you know? So it's not like there's a one and two. There's just two stud goalies ready to get the job done. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks Dex, Jordan. Appreciate
yeah, thank you. Man.
So, yep. So Dex, just some stats quickly that I was just given from the final game sheet. Hits tonight. St. Louis had 39. The Wild had 21, but five apiece from Eriksson Ek and Foligno. Block shots. St. Louis had 10. The Wild had 20. Johnny Merrill blocked 6. Middleton blocked 3. Goligoski blocked 3. So you got definitely more block shot production, which I think is incredibly important because, again, it shows sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
So, like just like so, some of the important grind stats, I guess. Block shots, I believe the Wild, let's see here. I got this quickly. The Wild in game one, first period, had 0. So, like, a huge difference tonight, I think, in the fact that sacrifice is the only way that you're truly going to win.
Yeah. Also, some analytics here for you. Corsi 4 percentage, just 36% for the Wild tonight. So, the Wild were heavily outshot tonight. Outchanced, outshot, and their goaltending prevailed. And most importantly, they're cashing their power play. Two big power play goals at point-blank range, and that was a difference maker. So, there could be – this is where, right? This is exactly where I have tried to tell you, I've tried to tell a lot of people, even the Hockey Whisperer, who I'm sure will have some takes on this tomorrow, that you have to blend both these to make them all work, right?
Yeah.
Like St. Louis podcast and fans and radio hosts are probably going to look at the same information that was used as a Wild side in game one and say, hey, we can win. Look at the results. Did you watch the game? Did you watch that game? Now, I will say St. Louis was more competitive in their loss than the Wild were in their loss. Right? Yes. Like that's obvious because the Wild didn't even score a damn goal in game one. But this is where you have to blend both these things together. Your analytics and your eye test.
By the way, as a hockey fan, the third period tonight was unbelievable. I mean, it was back and forth. The Wild came out and playing well, and then the Blues dominated for a while and it was fantastic. I just think in this sense, the advanced statistics that you're talking about, because the playoffs are so weird, they probably tell less of a story than they do during the course of the season, right? Like you really have to watch the games because you're right. Like the Corsi 4 and it also went in spurts. And so it wasn't like, oh my God, St. Louis dominated that. St. Louis had it, but again, they're good. Like that's the thing is this is going to be two good teams. And the Blues definitely looked awful at times and then they'd come back and look good. That's what makes this fun.
All right, let's run through we got a full room here.
Oh, let's just keep them going then. I'm sorry.
Let's keep it moving here.
Quit blabbering.
Is it Vailey? I think your mic.
Unmute yourself.
Muted. Your mic might be muted on that side. We'll see if I think it's Jacob actually. All right, that's okay. Let's do this. Let's keep it rolling. We'll move to the next guy. No biggie. Hey, Alex. Whoa.
Yeah.
Where are you, Alex?
Where are you?
I'm out in Sweden, but I'm from Stillwater.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Got to meet Brodin and Ek here, and Ek, calmest guy you'll ever meet, but psycho on the ice, apparently. So, no, unlike you, Judd, haven't been able to drink any Surleys, so.
I wish I could send you some, but unfortunately I can't.
No, that's good. No, I just got two quick takes here. First one, positive. Second one, nerve-wracking as a longtime Wild fan. Jost, by far, most noticeable player on the ice, 200 feet tonight, by far.
There was a play. Phenomenal.
Yep. There's a play in either late second period or early third period where he got the puck in deep and fought off three St. Louis players just to allow a change. No scoring opportunity came out of that. But when guys on the third and fourth line, especially the fourth line, are positively noticeable while the rest of the team is rolling, that's a recipe for a heck of a good win, a heck of a good series, hopefully coming up here. The second thing comes from watching the last five-ish years of the Wild under Parise, Suter. There's a stretch of time there for about 10, 12 minutes where once St. Louis started to really push and come back, you're watching the Wild try to weather the storm, but you have that anxious feeling of it's going to collapse because they were pushing. The Wild are doing everything they can, but it was just a lot of soft clears, not a lot of bringing into the offensive zone, possessing for a minute, trying to take that flow that they had going out. So hopefully they can play a complete 60-minute game. I thought they did a good job overall, but when St. Louis is pressing like that, as longtime Minnesota sports fan, you do feel that, all right, now we're going downhill here still. But this team, I do like believe truly, like you said, Judd, is built different. So hopefully they can continue that and continue to have a good game three here in St. Louis.
And just quickly, an incredibly important thing is, to your point, is that 4-2 didn't become 4-3, right?
Exactly. Like,
that's what usually happens. It's 4-3, yep. And now you got to hang on, and now they pull their goaltender, and you're like, oh, my God, yep. What's going to happen next, right? That's yep. What I love. Kaprizov picked Perron's pocket, took off, and now it's 5-2. So, like, exactly. That's the that's where this team is different. Like, I feel like 4-2 is where 2 weeks back, the Wolves blew the game.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's like, yep. hey, they're up by 50, and they're up by 10, they're up by 7, you know? So, yep. Yes, it feels like this team has the ability, and I think that's what frustrating about game one. This team has yep. the ability to be different. Just do it.
Exactly.
Just do it. So, anyway,
all right,
great
have
stuff,
a good one, guys.
Thank
Alex,
you.
Thank
Sweden,
you for
you're
us,
awesome.
Man, I love when that line goes international. I absolutely
We're
love when that
Europe
happens.
Europe, and it's yeah. just fantastic.
We try.
Oh, we do.
All right, let's keep it rolling. All right, 1 second. Let's get this guy on here. He's waving. Isaiah. You got
it's
us, buddy?
Me.
What's going on, man?
I got headphones on.
Yep, nice. You're good.
How are you?
I'm good.
What did you think of the game?
Wait, I watch New Jersey Devils with my mom.
Okay, 1 second. Let's
keep them rolling.
It's all good. Trey,
oh,
what's
hi.
Up, buddy?
What's good? I wanted to quickly say I've been a long time fan of you guys, and you guys have made me watch like basketball. And tonight was my first night watching the hockey or a hockey game in general. And I don't know if this is true, but like I heard like the announcers or the commentators say like that that the St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup. I don't know when, and they said that they kept like 75. Okay. And they said, thank you for the information. And they said that they kept 75% of their team. I kind of think that if we win the series, that we might be the team to beat.
Yeah, man. No, you're right, dude. I mean, here's the thing. Yes, they've kept their core together, and the Wild are kind of in this weird position. I know if you said if you're not really familiar with the Wild and just kind of like their inner workings right now, but because they bought out those Parise and Suter contracts, they have like an insane amount of dead money. I believe 15% of their salary cap, because the NHL has a pretty tight salary cap, is tied up in those buyouts. So they really can't add significant pieces to their roster after this year, because they'll have these penalties for the next three seasons. So you could actually make the case, no matter what, if this team gets by the first round, or even it gets loses to yeah. the Blues, this core together is going to be the core mostly for the next few years. So, yeah, it should be an exciting time. But glad you watched hockey, man. Appreciate
yeah,
you coming
that's
up.
That's awesome.
Love that.
Thanks for watching us. We appreciate that.
Yeah, let's keep it moving here. Let's mm-hmm. go to Zach. Zach, hello, buddy.
Well, hello. What's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
All right. I have a couple takes. First, I want to talk about LaFleur.
Yes.
I think Marc-Andre Fleury played outstanding tonight. That save that glove save. I love it when he makes his super over-the-top glove saves. And that sliding save with about 7 minutes, right when Kaprizov scored that empty net, total game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing I want to talk about, I don't know if this is just me, but Ek, like in the regular season, like he's solid. He's a very solid role player. Once the postseason starts, he just flips a switch.
Yep.
Yeah, buddy.
That second goal he had, Declan, you're going to have to tweet Bill Guerin with an apology for your Bill Arsenet can't get the flashy goals.
Yeah, you're right, dude. Yeah, he has that. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you coming on, man. Yeah, he has that ability, right, Judd?
Well,
that playoff ability, that pest ability, that it's not flashy, but man, he can make those plays in the bright moments.
And Ek in game one was probably the only Wild player that I thought played really well. Had scoring chances. He looked outstanding. The thing about guys like Ek is a lot of players, when the playoffs come, their skill drops down because of how playoff hockey goes. There's always a select group of guys whose play actually goes up a notch, and Ek is in that group. And I think it's because of how he plays and asserts himself. But yeah, he is a playoff player. Like, and it doesn't mean he's like a star flashy player, but he's the type of guy, because he grinds his ass off and he plays so hard. But to go back to game one, Yule Eriksson Ek played a really good game then too.
Yeah.
It's why Tyson Jost played so well, right? Guys like that grind. They constantly are working, and they actually take, I think, their games up a notch, not to become star players, but they definitely stand out. I mean, Joe's game tonight, he's a fourth liner. He's a fourth line center who tonight, just as a point of reference, played 14:47 in ice time. 14:47. He actually had more ice time tonight than Zuccarello had, I believe. So when you look at guys like that and how special they can be this time of year, those are the type of guys that you absolutely need. And Ek was, to his credit, it was fantastic.
Yeah, just looking at the ice time here, yeah, 14:46 for Jost, and then just 14:18 for guys like Zuccarello. I mean, that's a dude that's earning his shifts, right? Like, yeah, that, and Jost, like, that's a guy who's earning his shifts. And
you're killing penalties. And that's the other thing is the Blues on the power play tonight, the Blues were 1 for 5, 2 for 6 last game. The Wild on the power play, 2 of 3.
Special teams, baby. Special teams.
It's huge because they're going to call penalties.
All right, let's keep it rolling on Wild Vent Line. If you're watching this for the first time, hit the subscribe button. This is Score North, Judd's Hockey Show. I'm Declan Goff. That's Judd Zolgad. Let's go to Scott. Scott, hi, friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Awesome.
So, Dex, why are you stuck at home tonight and Judd's down at the X?
So, logistically, I'll take you guys behind the scenes a little bit on it, because I do get this question a lot. In fact, I'd even turn down a lot of tickets just to go as a fan, Judd. That's how dedicated I am to Judd's Hockey Show. The girlfriend was there. Two best friends from high school were there. Other friends were there. But basically, Scott, and for the listeners, it's a lot easier just to make this happen logistically and production-wise from my house. So we actually did this once from the XL, I think like in February, and it was fine. But in the postseason, it's just a little easier to be at home and have good internet at this setup. And that way, Judd and I aren't sharing the same screen. Judd and I kind of like to have our own microphones, and he's high maintenance, so it works out really better.
And not to mention one very important fact, and that is advantage Declan here, because he can drink a Surly beer right now.
It's also true. Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. Like, if I could switch places, I'd be tempted to right now, because I would be in control of a Havoc machine instead of Declan is. What's on your mind about tonight's game?
Well, Ryan Carter on the pregame picked, the pick to win was Jordan Greenway would redeem himself after the terrible penalties he was taking in game one. He started off with that great assist to get things going. But I guess my main question would be, with Talbot continuing to sit behind Fleury, do you think that's going to cause any issues in the locker room?
No. I think this team is the one thing they have worked their ass off from day one, and I give them credit on, is this team has worked incredibly hard to purge the people that complained about that exact thing. So no, like, I mean, if this was a goaltender who they brought in at the deadline and he was a high maintenance weird dude, it might be a problem. But Marc-Andre Fleury, to go back to, and I mean, I talked about this at when they acquired him for the Blackhawks at the trade deadline. He's beloved, right? He's beloved by everybody. Like, I think Dean put him back in goal because he said, you guys screwed up and embarrassed him and didn't give him enough support in game one, and they responded. So, no, I the one fear I do not have about this team is pulling apart and friction. These guys, I mean, Guerin and Evason have worked from day one to purge that. I mean, it's why Suter's not here. Like Suter was still a viable player. There was Parisi was declining, and his buyout made sense. Suter's buyout made no sense except for one very important thing. They wanted him out of the locker room. So I don't think there's any problem. Talbot might have to play, and if he does, you know, I think he'll step in and play well. But it's Marc-Andre Fleury's net right now, and these guys have worked very hard to make sure that there's no friction about something like that.
Cool. Awesome. I'm glad we got a game five here, and I'm hoping to spend more money than my girlfriend wants me to spend on trying to get some tickets to the game on Tuesday. So.
Love to hear that. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you. Quickly, thank Judd, as we have, again, just a full green room here. Can't wait to talk more about Wild fans. We'll get back to those in just a sec. But I think to answer his point, too, on Talbot, and this is what's really always impressed me about Talbot, is in the limited times we have been able to talk to him and in press conferences when I actually have been at the games with you, he has that what we always love to talk about, that Mackie and I love to talk about, is self-awareness. He seems like a pretty self-aware dude. Yep. I don't think. Devin Dubnyk did not have that type of gene. He just didn't. And Dubnyk played at times very well here. Very, very well. But Cam, I think, has that type of self-aware gene. He's not going to be a problem in that locker room.
Dubnyk thought he was the guy. That was the problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody did, but right? Parisi did, and Suter did. And it's like, no, you're not. Before we get back to the calls and comments, Dex, you know, home or away. So if you're at the X or you're like you are right now at home, what type of underwear are you rocking?
Oh, actually, I have my Chill Boys on. I actually do have my shorts on right now over my Chill Boys. Thankfully, I'm not going to stand up and show you anything.
No, don't. And I do have my Chill Boys on too, but I have my jeans on.
Again, family-friendly show here from the host and the fans on Ventline. And yes, my performance brand and my bamboo fabric, it's a Minnesota-based company, Chill Boys. It kind of opens your eyes. Like, for example, when I was wearing normal boxers, I was used to just normal playoffs berths, right? You know, I was used to the Grandlands and the Coils and the Ninos getting us there. But, you know, quick one-and-done outs. Well, now, then I put on these performance brands, and it was, oh, these are Kevin Fiala's. And then I tried the bamboo fabric, and I was like, oh, this is Kirill Kaprizov. This is the superstar of underwear, and I have been deprived of this my entire life. That's what it's like wearing a pair of Chill Boys.
Chillboys.com. Chillboys.com is the place to go. All right, back to the comments.
All right. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, all right, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good,
buddy.
So, four players I want to talk about is Fleury, Kaprizov, and then Ek and Jost. Jost is just phenomenal. I mean, coming from someone who, I mean, I got some minutes in high school, but, you know, I wasn't that guy until, you know, you feel it one night. And then give credit to Dean for recognizing that and playing him more. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got more minutes than I think you said Zuccarello was, Judd, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, credit to Dean for recognizing that and playing him. And then one question I want to leave you guys with is, does this earn him a spot like moving up next year? With Rossi coming?
That's a very good question. So here's part of the equation to that. Part of the equation is what happens to Goudreau, and do you move Hartman back to a wing? I think it remains to be seen. And you know what, too, Dex? I mean, Jost might be very good where Jost is. Now, I think he is more upside than Sturm did, and I think that there's certainly more offensive potential there. So that's a good question, and it could be the case, and that would be a great problem to have. But I think there's a chance that the center position in the coming months is going to be a little bit more fluid. And so there's a lot of directions that things could go. But this Jost trade right now, the Sturm trade, looks damn good. Like Jost is giving you things that Sturm, as much as we were on the Sturm Sturm bandwagon last season, felt like his play had sort of dropped off a little bit in 2021-22. So what you saw tonight was just phenomenal.
Yeah, two things on that. Number one, I just think, even though you and I were higher on Nico Sturm, I kind of just accepted what his game was. I wouldn't say it dropped off. I just figured out who he was. I saw his ceiling of who he was.
I felt like he wasn't as good this season.
And then with Jost, I mean, I told you on the offset when that trade happened, I said, I think this is a guy that eventually cracks your top nine, top six. Now he's log jammed a little bit, yes. But if you were to move on from Kevin Fiala, which is not a conversation we're necessarily going to have on this podcast, but when we do in the offseason, if that is something that happens, That goes to a committee role. That goes with Jost. That goes with Boldy. That goes with, yes, Marco Rossi. Because you can't. You don't just individually swap Kevin Fiala if you lost him. But Jost is part of that equation to replace him. Yes.
Billy's work at the deadline is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Middleton and Fleury. And Jost was the first one a week before, right?
Fleury.
Delorier. I mean, he brings you size. His work at the deadline really put this team, I think, in a position to be much more competitive in a series like this.
Let's keep it rolling. Bennett, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's good, up? Man? What's going on?
Frankly, I want to give a huge shout out to Erickson Eck. Wild Fateful, we've loved him for a long time, and he was screwed over his hat trick because Foligno couldn't get his left skate over the line in time.
Yeah, so, and he had a great game.
He had a great game.
Two games now. He's been damn good. And, I mean, he never lets up. He is made for the spring. Like, his game is made for the spring. It's made for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, he does so many little things right that doesn't go on the stat sheet. And today his two goals should have been three. Want to give a huge shout out to him and your crew for creating this great show.
Thank you, Bennett.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it, man. That.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. This is the type of the guy, which, by the way, Judd nailed. Judd said and write that down that he would score the first power play goal. A bomb for Mr. Judd Zolgad on Mackey and Judd.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I said before the regular season started he would score the first goal of the season. He did. And then he scored the first goal of the playoffs. And he really probably should have had a goal in game one.
Damn right.
But, he is made for this time of year. His style of play and the fact that he is basically relentless. And I think he takes it up a notch, but he is a relentless player. I love that.
All right. We still got a lot of Wild fans here. It's past midnight. I love this.
I got plenty of time. I don't need sleep.
I'm good.
Not in the playoffs.
Thomas.
Hi, guys. What's up?
How are you? Not much, buddy.
Good.
How are you?
Great jersey.
So I guess I got two things. Everyone's raving about the offense tonight, but I know Judd especially was kind of peeved about the defense the other night on game one. And just tonight was entirely different. You know, guys were jumping on loose pucks. Blues had five power plays tonight, and they had six the other night. And I don't know, it just, even though, you know, they scored the goal, the one power play goal, it just, you know, guys were actually there when Fleury kicked out the rebounds, because, you know, Fleury is that kind of goalie. He'll give up rebounds. And I don't know, it just, the defense seemed entirely different. Brodin had a heck of a game outside of, I think he pulled down, I think it was Perron, for a kind of an ugly early penalty. He got out of that. Middleton, man, the guy can kill penalties. Just the defense just looked, you know, night and day difference from game one. And almost to the point where Fleury's game, you know, you can't even say it was any better or worse, but the defense was just so much better this game than game one. And I guess the other point is, you know, the trade deadline was the end of March, and it's kind of hard to imagine this team without some of the acquisitions that they made at the trade deadline. So, like, Middleton, Jost, obviously Fleury, and Delorier, like, these are cornerstones of this team. They've been around for, you know, 6 weeks. You know, it's crazy. I know that as Wild fans, we're not really used to, you know, our team going out and making big deals at the deadline. But, you know, these are all cornerstone parts of our team that have only been around for 6 weeks. And, you know, it just kind of really shows what good of a job Billy Guerin has done here. So.
Awesome. Absolutely. Stuff, yeah. And smart moves. I mean, just smart moves. You know, the Fleury trade's a huge trade. That's a huge name. But Delorier, that's not a huge trade, but look how well he fit in.
Yeah, that trade on the
And look at what he brings, and you didn't understand what you were saying, and you owe Bill Guerin an apology. The Middleton trade. Like, he is a top-pairing defenseman, and tonight he was throwing his weight around. I mean,
you ripped that guy on his first game.
First game, he didn't look good. Totally wrong, though. Sorry, Bill Guerin. I'm right on Dylan Bundy. I was wrong on – but anyway, there's just – yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the Kulikov-Goligoski swap tonight was very important because Kulikov was awful in game one. Goligoski was a minus one tonight, but you know what? I didn't notice him screwing up, did you? And I think that move, at least for the present time, is here to stay. But, yeah, I sensed – like, one thing I didn't like at all about the Wild's game on Monday, I didn't like their play in their own zone. I didn't think it was nearly engaged enough for this time of year. And tonight – it's not that they were perfect, and they certainly got worked at times, but you know what I didn't see? I saw way more engagement, and, you know, the block shots, again, Declan, tell a very important story there. Guys were sacrificing their bodies, which is what you have to do.
And to his point, too, quickly before I get to Alex here on Wild Bent Line, I agree that to his point about Fleury, that his game didn't change. Like, Fleury's going to kick out those rebounds. Like, that's kind of who he is. He's going to make the flashy glove save. He's going to kick out those rebounds. And Dean said, like, yeah, our defense has to clean that up. And I saw a bunch of Wild fans on Twitter being like, oh, okay, like, what? It's Fleury's fault he's giving up those rebounds. The defenders have to be up better. Yes, and you saw it.
Oh, yeah.
You saw it.
I felt Fleury did a better job of directing those tonight than the first game. But, yes, this is a very, very large part of the defenseman, because you've got to pick guys up. It's basketball. It's the same thing, right? It's boxing out. It's picking up your man. If you don't, look, David Perron was standing there. I barely noticed him tonight. In game one, he was standing there. It would be no different than not picking up your guy on the block in basketball or the, right? Like, if I let you stand there and you get the ball and score, that's on me. So, yes, Delore is not a goon. That's not correct. He is a tough player, but we just got a comment from Mike. He's not a goon.
Alex, what's up, buddy? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
How's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Awesome.
Hey, so the main things, you know, I want to talk about tonight was, you know, the key moves that Bill Guerin made at the end of the season last year was signing Eriksson Ek and Kaprizov, right? And, you know, when we needed big plays tonight, those two guys were the ones that came out and did it, right? And I remember, you know, Bill Guerin was on with you guys, you know, 6-8 months ago, and you're talking about Eriksson Ek, and, you know, he was saying that, you know, he's a skill guy too, right? And that second goal he had was absolutely filthy. And just, I mean, that was an unbelievable play by him. And, you know, he's, you know, but in the playoffs, you need those players to step up, and those two players absolutely did tonight. And, you know, we really needed it.
That second goal was a sick goal. You're exactly right. I mean, that was, he picked the guy's pocket and made a great move. Yeah, I mean, he definitely has skill. I just think he combines his skill with just an elite work ethic. And that's the perfect combination. And while I think it's good to certainly have that combination during the course of the season, in the playoffs, it's imperative. Like, he combines what is some really nice skills with the fact that he works his butt off. And, you know, tonight, in game one too, in his defense, we saw it both times, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, awesome stuff, Alex.
He's awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I do. Well, I owe Billy, and actually, I more owe Ek an apology than to Billy. Billy was the one that was like, no, Declan, you're just wrong.
Yeah, you said it wasn't skilled.
That's fine.
But, I mean, he does work. Like, I knew what you were saying, though. In your defense, I knew what you were saying. Because he's not just he's not a flashy player. He can make flashy plays. But you know what? The most important thing is it starts with he's willing to work his butt off.
Yep. All right. Keep it moving. Let's go to Blake. Blake, how are you, buddy?
I'm very good. That was great win tonight.
Yeah, man. Huge win.
So, like, you guys talked about, like, Kulikov and Goligoski. I feel like Goligoski probably should have started or played in game one, too. What do you guys think?
Kulikov, until that game, I have actually been impressed by. So, like, I didn't have a big problem with it. But, I mean, he went from being, I think, one of the more reliable guys that they signed during the summer to, in that game, he was damn near unplayable. I was shocked by that.
Yeah.
To go back to, I think it was the Blues' second goal by O'Reilly in the game on Monday. He literally was skating away from the play while the puck was behind him, and no one knew why. So in retrospect, you're right, but I did not first guess that move one bit.
So I say that I'm from Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Okay, nice, dude.
Goligoski from Grand Rapids, but anyways, yes, I feel like so far in the NHL playoffs, I feel like the penalties have been very soft, like, throughout the playoffs, not just the Wild game. Like, you know, there's been calls on both sides that have been just called, like, I'm a ref. I've ref for like 8 years or whatever, but just calls, especially in the NHL playoffs, that I wouldn't have called, you know, on both sides. It just, it's for the NHL playoffs, it feels like it's been pretty soft, to be honest.
So I've watched, I watched parts of the four games last night, and I've watched both, obviously, of the games played by the Wild so far, and I've noticed two reffing things. One, you're right. They are calling way more like, it's almost like we're starting the season, and there's like they're enforcing things, and I don't know if that's to set a tempo, but that appears to be a playoff wide thing, not just a Wild Blues thing. Here's the other thing. Have you, and I picked up on this last night, and I saw it again a couple of times tonight. They are being much more diligent about when they call icing. I'm seeing them not call icings like ordinarily. It's just bang, right? Automatic.
Yep.
It feels like if you like start to go a little bit slow to get the puck, they're waving it off. So there's definitely appears to be points of playoff emphasis that surprised me, because ordinarily in the playoffs, they stay away from enforcing too much and they just go by the book basically, or in penalties, they do less.
Yep. Yeah. As a referee, you know, icing is obviously a judgment call when it comes to like, you know, the defenseman, he could have played the puck, you know. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, you know, that's totally a judgment call. And like, they're, you know, not calling icing as much like you were saying. So
awesome, Blake.
Good
Thanks
stuff
coming
man.
On, dude.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah,
thank Take you, care. Guys.
Appreciate it.
Go Grand Rapids.
Love there. You gotta love it.
Grand Rapids, great GR. Country. Great golfing country for you, Dex.
It is. Keegan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Buddy?
What's up, man?
So I got a couple things on both sides tonight. I thought the Wild, from everyone who played tonight, maybe Hartman was the only one who I thought didn't really play well, but everyone else was superb. And I think the difference between tonight's game and the game before was a complete switch, where I felt like the Wild were making the winning plays. Jost in the first period, when he was holding those three defensemen in while the Wild were changing, Kaprizov staying behind the net, forcing the Blues to take penalties. They were fantastic. I think Goligoski's got to play the rest of the way over Kulikov, unless someone else plays a bad game. And I think on the other side for the Blues, and this is a question for both you guys, I think the Blues are in trouble a little bit. I thought Ville Husso tonight was really bad and just looked uncomfortable. I wonder if they're going to make a change. And then with the Blues probably going to get Scandella and Letty back, what do you think that means for the Wild, and how should they prepare for that?
First of all, let's start with the defenseman for the Blues. So Scandella got hurt late in the season and has missed both games, and he was on their top pairing. So like, what, you know, he obviously played here, and fans here have seen him play, excuse me. But so Scandella, if he comes back, Bertuzzo got hurt tonight, which was a big deal as well. Letty's an interesting one, because in game one, his defensive pairing was used against Kaprizov a lot. And I feel like Kaprizov actually took advantage of the fact that he didn't play tonight. So depending on where the Blues are by Friday, they're way down on depth blue line wise, which is a big deal. And I'm curious to see if they can get guys back or not. Nick got hurt early in the first period when he got hit by Charlie Coyle on Monday. He stayed down, eventually got up, skated off, but then played the rest of the game. So I'm like, well, he's fine. Clearly he's not. So I'm not sure if he's back or not on Friday, but that's a big deal. As far as the goaltending goes, I'm very curious to see. I mean, Jordan Binnington led this team to the Stanley Cup in 2019. He's a weird dude, but he's got the background there. So you might be right. I wonder if they're going to bring Binnington in for game three. And if Binnington gets in and plays well, it's his net. We've seen both the good and bad of Husso so far. But I would not be absolutely floored if Binnington got the start in game three.
Yeah. And then do you think if Binnington starts game three and he plays bad, do they go back to Husso? So I feel like whoever wins game three has a huge advantage in the series. I think game three, if Husso's in the net, I think they'll switch to Binnington. Mm-hmm. But I think they might give Husso another go, just because he'll be at home with the home crowd. Because the Husso chance, I think, got to him in this game. And the fans were on him early, and I think they just kept it on him the whole game. And I think he looked nervous in that. That's just what I saw.
I do think it's important, though, to keep in mind tonight, Declan, that it seemed like the Wild did a far better job of crashing the net, especially on the power play. So, like, they were getting greasy goals. It didn't look like they did what they did against the Blues in 2017, or too much in game one, which I thought was I mean, they crashed the net at times, but like tonight, I felt like there was determination to go to the net and to force the play, which is what you want. But yeah, the Binnington one is interesting because this guy has a Stanley Cup. He knows what this is about. And if they do think that their goaltending could improve, I'd be much less surprised to see them go from Huso to Binnington than like if Dean takes Fleury out now, which I firmly do not expect because of the way he's playing.
You know, what's interesting is, so I think Huso starts game three for sure. I think he does. I'd be pretty surprised if they went to Binnington. But I think what you have seen is the variance in Huso's game from one and two is bigger than the variance from Fleury's game in one and two. So it's more trending if there was going to be a goalie change, ironically enough. I think it's more on the likely on the St. Louis side than it is on the Minnesota side right now.
I agree. I
think Huso, yeah, I agree with what he said. Huso got rattled. And for a guy that's never been to playoff hockey, he was completely rattled and he was awful tonight. He just wasn't good.
And Dex, they're down three defensemen.
Yeah.
That's a lot of guys.
Yeah, like, losing like Letty and Scando. Like yeah, that's a big lot. The Wild capitalized on that.
But I mean, that's like if Spurgeon or Brodin went out. Like, I mean, we're not talking slappies here. We're talking some pretty important defensemen. Mm-hmm. And by the time when I think Bortuzzo got hit by a shot, that's three guys right there. So, like, you're calling on guys to play a lot, and you're calling on guys that ordinarily don't get ice time to play. If those three continue to be out, that's a huge advantage for the Wild.
All right, handful of Vikings. Dang it.
You keep saying Vikings.
I'm so okay.
But it's okay.
I host Vikings Event Line.
I know you do. I know you do.
Do a great job producing it, okay? It's a bunch of stuff going on.
You do a fantastic job. Let me tell you something, sir. Let me tell you something. You do a great job producing.
Oh, God. All right, handful of Wild fans left here. Let's go to Levi. Hi, Levi.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Levi.
Buddy. How are you?
Good. Just a shout out to my two sons that are. I made go to bed before the end of the Wild game, just so had
Names?
To get on the vent line for him. I thought what Judd said, I thought the Wild played a lot better in straight lines tonight. They got in on the forecheck, sticks and lanes way better in the defensive zone and were more committed to getting, they deflected a lot of shots out of play tonight too. I was just curious, what do you guys think the game plan is for game three? Just based on we aren't going to have last change anymore, and it makes me a little nervous on the Buznevich line when they had one shift away from the Ek line, they scored immediately.
Yeah, good point. I think that they'll probably work their asses off to try and get the lines changed up. It's going to make it a little tougher. But, I mean, you know, Dex, the thing is, I don't think – like, last change is important.
It is.
And I said continually that if I was the Wild, I wanted home ice, not so much for games one and two, but for game seven potentially.
Yeah.
But I also think that there are – I mean, it's not like you can't make changes. You're just going to – like the difference I think is if the Wild was this like great face-off team, right? And, oh, my God, we can't get Ek out there right now. But they're really not. So if you do desire, and they probably will, to have matchups – I think you could still get them. It's just going to take, it takes a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? It takes a little bit more shifting of things, but it's not like you can't get your opponent. It's not like you can't get your line out against that. And I will say this, the Wild for the most part has done a outstanding job on the Tarasenko Thomas line.
Yeah. That's been mostly like non-existent. Yeah. Yeah.
They had what tonight? They did score. Tarasenko scored a goal from Buznevich and Thomas, and I think that was it. So, but yes, Tarasenko definitely. I mean, this guy can have games where he's dominant. He has not been in the first two, barely heard from in game one. Tonight, heard from a bit. That's to be expected, but the Wild's done a good job.
I agree with Keegan's point. I think I'm not going to write this down right now because it's not a form of writing that down. Phil is not here. No, I'm not going to write this down. I'm not going to write this down. But I will just say on this podcast that whoever wins game three is going to win this series. Whoever wins game three wins this series. And if the Wild win game three, I think they're going to be in the driver's seat to win this series. Yes.
Game three is huge. That's a really good question. That's a really interesting statement. I don't know if I'm there yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have a feel yet completely.
Totally.
I just know that the Wild played the game that you know that they can play tonight, and you didn't see that in game one.
Yep. Couple more fans left here on Wild Vent Line. Ryan, by the way, if you can turn your camera on, I'll pop you back on here eventually on the show. Let's go to Sam, though, for right now. Sam, how are you, buddy? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
Hey, guys. Long time, first time. Really enjoy your content. Thanks for helping me get through the workday.
Thank you.
Just real quick to echo what I've heard previously, Jost, awesome game. I think the first goal tonight was massive for the fans, for the team. All that, I agree. Just you felt that lift off, especially given our Minnesota history. my wife got super excited about the Eriksson X skill goal, which is really fun. But also, I'm watching these games and I'm thinking the injury stuff. You know, like you saw Dumba win the clearing attempt that he succeeded in, and I'm looking at the next stretch, and it's like if we're really going to go deep in this, I just feel like we got to be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, health is going to be huge, man.
I watch all these hits, and I know the puck's going this way, and I'm just watching and making sure the guy gets up, you know?
The issue is, and this is what makes this whole tournament so much fun, nobody is, though.
Like, I know, yeah.
Like, there's everyone's getting the crap kicked out of them on a nightly basis across the entire league. And so I think the reality is pain threshold, because health is out of the question.
These guys are getting, yeah.
Right, but I'm saying, Dumba right now, I think, is playing with basically one arm. But he's playing, and so the question becomes, okay, if you scratched him, who would you bring in? Jordy Ben, Kulikov? No. So I'd prefer he plays. Foligno, he's probably playing on one leg. But if you scratch him, who are you going to bring in? So I really think this comes down to, across the entire league, not health, but the pain threshold of those who are hurt. Because in many cases, you can't lose them. Like, they got to keep going. You know, unless it's an unbelievable skill guy who's just useless. But that's what makes this so much fun and so brutal. Like, I talk about it being, it's brutal. Like, there's no, oh, it's all fun. It's all fun, and it's fun for us. These guys probably have 18 ice packs on. But I do love it. So,
good stuff, Sam.
Healthy, let alone just keep them on the ice, you know?
Yeah, keep them on the ice. Literally, absolutely. Keep them on the ice. I agree with you completely. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, the Blues lost two core players tonight. Like, right? The Wild haven't. Knock on wood. The Wild haven't. I mean, losing Scandella, losing Levy. I know Scandella wasn't playing game one, but, like, losing those guys was big. That's a big reason.
Bertuzzo. Bertuzzo's a big loss for that.
Yeah, wasn't able to get going tonight. All right. A couple more fans here left on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to Ryan. He's been waiting patiently. Ryan, how are you, bud?
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? So I don't really have anything to add other than it was a great win tonight. I just want to – maybe you guys can share your opinion. The camera here. I think this team, we've been saying they're different. I think tonight they showed – I think the third period, it's the first time I've ever seen it happen. They took the opposing team's will to win, I think, honestly. The Blues, I mean, scoring that goal, too bad for Ek couldn't get the Hattie. But, you know, Kaprizov went and scored the empty netter. I think scoring those two goals right there, you know, there's 7 minutes left. But just taking the opposing team's will to win, taking them out of the game, I think shows that they're a different team. That's all I really have to add. I think I was going to ask what you guys' thoughts are on starting Fleury or Talbot again, their whole series. But I think you got to go with Fleury, right?
Yeah, you're right. Man, you know, yeah, you're right.
But that's all I had to add. So it was a great win tonight. I hope they can pull through in game three. So
thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Yeah. The Wild, it really fell to 4-2, like it was going to go to 4-3. And once it goes to 4-3, you're like, okay, here we go, right?
Right.
And Kaprizov takes the puck from Perron, passes it off, goes down and scores. And that goal, to me, that's the difference between most of the teams in this godforsaken sports state and this team. Because if that goes to 4-3, I mean, the Blues are skilled. They were moving the puck. They're a fast team. They're a problem.
Yep.
But you got that goal, and now it's like, okay. And then the momentum just completely shifted back to the Wild.
All right. One more fan here left on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to Jack. What's up, Jack?
Just got back from the game. Got my Hartman shirt.
Oh, you got the Hartman shirt. You from Marquette Chief.
Yeah.
Let's see it. Nice.
I got 2 points here. I got one. I think the best thing they did was not take Fleury out, because you take Fleury out and you let the Blues know that you just pulled a Hall of Fame goalie out of a series, and that gives, I think, them momentum. Second thing I got, there was 3 points of power play, penalty kill, and we can't score on Huso. We scored on Huso right away.
Mm-hmm.
We scored on the power play, and then we killed the penalty. And I think if we go out and win a 2-1 game tonight and we let up a power play goal and we don't score on 3 power plays, I think it's a different series going into game 3. But going into game 2, I think we've changed all the doubt that we had going into this.
Great awesome stuff, Jack. Thank you. Yeah, he's absolutely right. And I'm telling you, too, it is unbelievable, and it's what makes this sport so fun, that when Bertuzzo's stick blew up and Greenway picked up the puck and fed Eck and they scored, it changed everything.
Yeah,
it changed. Like, that was a that was 9:32 of uncertainty. The Wild, at one point, I tweeted this, looked like they had never played together. It looked like the first day of training camp.
Yeah, it looked weird.
Passes were bad. Nothing was clicking. And in that one moment, everything changed. And he's right. You go from that goal to a power play goal to a penalty kill, and now you're like, okay, now we're cooking with gas. It's exactly right. But, I mean, that whole thing, that sequence shifted a series from like, oh, boy, what's going to take place here to, okay. And you know what? The game went back and forth. Momentum turned. It always does. That's not rare. But the reality was, after that sequence, you didn't feel like, oh, boy, this is – trouble. And the Wild, I think, got its mojo back. I really do. Because, I mean, they were giving up chances at times, but they had enough mojo to carry it on. So great fun. We are done. We appreciate you all for staying up late, for chiming in. Great stuff. We will be back after Friday's 8:30 start. That's right. Declan Goff.
Oh, yeah.
He's a young man, but he's putting his Friday night plans on hold. I will be home, so I will be drinking one of my favorite Surly beers, probably the Furious. You'll be drinking your Surly beer Friday night. We will take your calls, your appearance again. There it is, Surly Brewing. Thank you very much to all of our friends, Omar and Dave and Stu and all of you at Surly for helping us out with not only Purple Daily, but also now Judd's Hockey Show. Declan, if there's more to add, you tell me, but that's it from me at the X.
Yeah, hit the subscribe button to this YouTube channel for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. As Judd said, we'll be back on Friday. Mackie and Judd and the Hockey Whisperer with Mackie, Judd, and myself will be back tomorrow on this YouTube channel. Some more Minnesota Wild conversations coming, plus other Minnesota sports content and Purple Daily, our daily Minnesota Vikings channel. Hit the subscribe on that one as well. Hey, it's a playoff win. So let's wrap it up with our friend of the show.
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgy?
Hard work and having fun.
F*** that. This is about f***ing winning.